Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Welcome to another episode of the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. Can we talk? How are you doing? I hope you guys are having a blessed and highly favored week. And y'all know what I say at the start of every show. Share the podcast. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell a friend. I promise you, it won't hurt when you just hit that little share button over there in the corner. It's real simple. And you want everybody to know about the Christopher Terrence Jones Show because you never know who's going to be on the show. You never know what I'm going to talk about. I need you guys to get better. Y'all know that we are in the midst of COVID and it is coming back with a vengeance. So make sure you wash your hands. Make sure you wear your mask. Make sure you social distance because I would like to be out of the house in 2021. The rest of the world would too, I would hope. So check this out. Today I have an amazing guest on the show and I'm just so honored to have her here. I just say when you're in the presence of somebody, when they open their mouth and they begin to sing and you just hear heaven, you hear heaven. And it takes you to this place where whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, you have no more worries. You have no more cares because at the end of this amazing, anointed, beautiful butterfly singing, you're just going to lift your hands and cry out, God. That's all you're going to do. And tears, I promise you, are going to begin to flow because the Holy Spirit is going to move into the building. I want you guys to welcome to the show the amazing LaJune Thompson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm just trying to hold it in the middle of the road. That's all. Just ready for this COVID to go bye-bye.
Yes, we are all trying to hold on. So for those of you you have to be under a rock if you don't know who LaJune Thompson is. You just have to be under a rock. All I got to say is Donald Lawrence and Tri-City. That's all I got to say. Just Tri-City. I mean, if you just start there. John P. Key. Oh, my God. If you just when you say gospel, there is no gospel without LaJune. You say Clark Sister, there's no gospel. And I say that because she is the most humble person that you will meet in this industry where we have a bunch of sharks and we have a bunch of people whose heads are so big and forget that it's all about God getting the glory.
Amen. Amen.
That's where the start of everything should start and that's where it should finish is that God is getting the glory because it's not about us. It's never about
us. It's not.
So.
Not at all.
Tell the people how you got your start, where you from. We all know you're from North Carolina, amazing, beautiful place to live, just beautiful place to live. Tell the people how you got your start.
Well, I have to go all the way back to when I started singing they call it middle school now, but it's elementary school. And I grew up in a neighborhood called Greenfield Homes. And everyone's familiar with Isaac Carey and his mom then had a show called Gospel Expo. His mother is very well renowned as well. Amazing singer, pianist, and everything. So myself and Isaac's sister, Kimberly, we were in the same grade. And Kim is extraordinary as well, Kimberly Maxwell. We started a little group. We were sixth, seventh grade, and started a little group. And Kim could play and sing as well. So we would rehearse every day. And so Pastor Nancy allowed us to be on her show. She would bring in, back then, she had brought like DJ Rogers, God rest his soul. She would bring in Pastor Marvin Winans, Pastor Donnie McClurkin. I mean, she would bring in the who's who of gospel. So at that early age, we were exposed to that, but she trained us as well. So that's where I got my start, Pastor Nancy Carey Wilson. And from there, when I turned 13, I met Pastor John P. Key. And
Wait. Did you just say you were already singing? And so when you turned 13, wow.
Yes. Yes, yeah, so when I turned 13, I met Pastor John P. Key, and he was working on the Brethren in Unity. He had done a series of recordings, and so he was going to Louisville, Kentucky. I was too young to go by myself, so my mom and my sister went, and that's what started the whole recording career and all of that. So I traveled with Pastor Key, years, and then I met about 5 years, and then I met my husband, Cedric. We both were traveling with Pastor Key. Got married. We got married at 18, and we will celebrate 32 years this December, thank God. Wow. And so from there, I also met Donald Lawrence when I was 13, but I didn't start singing with him until I was around 26. So 10, 13 years later, I started singing with Tri-City. And in between that, God has just been really good. I've sang with, Bishop Jakes, Tyler Perry, Aaron Neville, Olita Adams, the Clark sisters, Shirley Caesar. God has just been really good, but the mainstays have been Donald Lawrence and Pastor Key. I've done some work with Kurt Carr, whom I love. Oh my God, he's like my bucket list to do a recording with. So God has just been good, and through the years, doors have opened. And you said something in your introduction, I think because of the way you carry yourself a lot of times, and you can't, me and my husband joke about it, you can't put too much on it. You can't really allow your head to get swollen or allow your thinking to be above what it is.
Yes.
Just look at it for what it is, the assignment, and being effective in the assignment. So I thank God for that opportunity, for the many doors that have opened. And that's just something we've also drilled into our oldest son, who's a producer and a musician in his own right. He's played for so many artists. It's ridiculous. He's far surpassed us in the R&B, the jazz genre, gospel genre, everybody. So, and I think that's a lesson to be learned by a lot of us. Still, you know, you can't allow your head to get swollen by the opportunity. You just got to look at it for the assignment.
Yes, that is so true. And I mean, so y'all at home, she just went on in there and she told you about her husband, and they're getting ready to celebrate 32 years. But not only, I mean, he is so talented, Grammy Award winner, Stellar Award winner. He's one of the most amazing producers. And you see that the apple didn't fall far. The son has taken into the, it runs in the house. They're musically inclined. Oh my God. So you said something, and I guess I didn't know that piece. You worked with Olita Adams. I love Olita Adams.
Oh, I love her. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh. She's amazing.
Oh, one of the last concerts before our Bishop Walter Hawkins passed away, she was here. And so the concert with Bishop, with Tremaine Hawkins, and with her. And we brought in the grand piano for her. And she sat down at the grand piano and began to play in Love Center. And I just sat there in awe, just in tears, tears. I mean,
I can't imagine.
And she is another humble person. She was like, nervous. I'm just so nervous because this is Walter and Tremaine Hawkins. And I'm sitting here like, do you know who you are?
Right.
Do you know who you are? And just amazing. So what was it like working with her? I mean, that would be on somebody's bucket list. Oh my God.
We actually, and it was funny because I believe we were in, if my memory serves me correctly, we were in Detroit for, it may have been Karen Clark's record. I can't remember, but I think that's what we were there for. And Donald kind of surprised us and said, hey y'all, we're gonna go to the studio and lay some tracks for somebody. And she's always been one of my favorites. And so I was kind of listening and, you know, so let me get myself together. And when I found out that it was Olita Adams, I was speechless. And she was just so down to earth, so sweet, so kind, so gracious. And she came in and talked with choir. And I think I was speechless, just speechless. And then fast forward, I was able to do an event here in Charlotte with her years later. And she came up to me, she said, oh my God, you know, she just started imparting wisdom to me. And little did I know, her father was a bishop, and she just started sharing, and she just really covered me in prayer, and it was amazing. It was surreal because, again, she's one of my favorites.
Oh, she's just, she's amazing. Just
yes,
amazing. And just to see her sit behind the piano. Wow, that yes. Right there.
Yes.
Just takes you to another place. And when she just gets to singing Many Rivers, I got many rivers to cross. I'm just like, yes. Okay, I'm just to fall out now. While y'all going to do what y'all do, I'm going to fall out.
Listen. Ooh. My God, amazing.
And so you've had the ability to work with so many people. And so some people, there are people out there that say, I guess I'll keep doing this. When did the desire to transition from being recording artist with other group to being a solo recording artist decide to come into the picture?
You know what? That's funny. Actually, it was supposed to happen many years before it did, and I was reluctant. I'm not sure if you're familiar with a group I was in called The Promise on Word Records back in the early 90s. Patrick Henderson, who yeah. was from West Angeles, he back then, it was like 93, he had come to Greensboro. I'm originally from Greensboro, North Carolina, and done a recording. He was doing like these, I don't know if they were called 360 deals then. I don't know what kind of deals they were called. But I sang as a guest artist, a guest soloist. I wasn't an artist then or whatever. And a few weeks later, I got a call. I was at home. I had just had my first baby, CJ. And this guy was like, hey, we want to meet with you. There was a guy at the concert. He's very interested in you, you know, doing a record. And I was like, yeah, I don't think so. I know I'm not ready. Nah, it's okay. So we did meet, but I stressed that I wasn't ready. So we put a group together, and that's how The Promise was formed. That was supposed to be my first solo record deal. But fast forward years later, because of Donald Lawrence and my husband Cedric, they said, we think you're ready. And so the first deal with EMI was constructed, and that's when that all came about. So I had to wait, and I'm glad that I did recognize that I wasn't ready, because I ran track. We always learned that if you jump the gun, a false start would get you disqualified. So I wasn't trying to be disqualified. No.
I want to say that's also the project that Erica sung a song on. Was that that? I can't think of what's
Erica one. Bratton. Erica Bratton.
Mm-hmm. Am I correct for
on
that?
On which project?
With the, oh my God, I can't think of what the name of that album was. I thought you guys, there's an album that you both did guest vocals on, correct?
Yes, that was on Patrick Love.
Patrick Love, that's his name. Yeah. Patrick Love.
And Salem.
Yes.
Uh-huh, Brady Salem. Oh yeah, that was a good record too. Beverly Crawford was on that as well.
Yes, I had that project. I was like, wait a minute, it sounds like I know this project, but it's so many intertwining. And that is so, just wow. Just woo, so many intertwining. And so, soul inspiration.
That was the first record, solo record, yes.
And produced by your husband?
Yes, Cedric Thompson Sr.
How much of it did you write? How much did you, are you a writer? Did you say I'm going to write a little bit?
Yes, I wrote a little bit on that when they pushed me, you know, to start writing. And I was very intimidated because, again, Cedric Thompson and Donald Lawrence is in my life, and just very intimidated. But they did push me to write, so that's when I started writing. It's interesting, the whole process. You know, I think I tended at that point to overthink it. And so now when I hear something, I just grab some paper and write it down. But yeah, that's when I got my feet wet trying to write.
And I brought that up because I want to tell y'all at home, I always say this, it's wonderful for you to be an artist. And it's an amazing thing to be an artist, especially when you get some recognition. But in order to survive in this industry, you have to be a full developed artist. And that includes writing. Because a lot of times when you sign your contract deal, everybody else is going to get paid if you're not the writer. The only way you're going to get money is a small percentage of album sales and touring. The money is going to the writers.
Wow.
I can't express.
And that's great with truth.
You have to learn the industry. You have to learn how to read the contract so that in the long run, you won't be stuck because residual income will help you throughout the years. So learn to
read. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Those checks come in handy when they come. Those sound exchange and BMI checks and all of that. Yes, Lord.
They come in handy and you just never know where they're going to come from. And I tell people all the time, everybody, I'm like, oh, I'm a YouTuber. Are you? Oh, okay, that's nice. So how much, what are you doing? What do you mean how much? I said, if you're a YouTuber and you're a solidified YouTuber, you should be receiving a check from YouTube. What do you mean, a check from YouTube? So I said, so while you guys are talking, learn from somebody who has went down that path. One of my first experiences with YouTube, I messed up one of my videos, but it was the video that took me over. I did a video about Wendy Williams talking about the Clark sisters. And
I
accidentally deleted it by accident, but it gave me the followers I needed to qualify to be a YouTuber. So from that point on, I messed up. I lost probably over $1,000 off of that video by deleting it because it was at 200K views. And I was like, oh my God. So now I tell people, follow the directions that they tell you. And if you don't, go research. So don't just be a YouTuber out here sitting here doing that. Follow the way that they tell you because I do get a regular check from YouTube, even when I'm sleeping. So
look, I'm going to need you to tutor me on that.
I think it was T.D. Jakes that said, you got to have all these different streams of income.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, yeah. I'm a believer in that.
You have to pay attention to the industry. So when you're not jet setting across, traveling and singing, tell us about home life. Tell us about, because I know you just have an amazing grandchild. Tell us about that. So let the people know what just goes on at home.
Oh, Lord. So at home, right now, currently, it's very loud. Cedric just celebrated his birthday yesterday, and we have 5 grandchildren right now. So the oldest is 3 years old. That's Channing. We have a set of twins, Colin and Cameron. They're 2. A granddaughter that's 2, Melody, and a grand new grandbaby, Paisley Janae. And yesterday was nothing short of a circus. It was fun, but trust and believe, I was tired. I loved every moment of it because no one really knows. Prior to me traveling with music, I wanted to be a school teacher. So that's where my schooling and I was headed towards a degree in early childhood education, because I just firmly believe that the earlier you get a child to teach them, the earlier you set behavioral patterns and standards and things like that. And then once the music took off, I just kind of put it on the back burner. But I love my grandkids. I love them. I love the fact that I can call the mamas and daddies and tell them to come get them. Cedric and I, we are just chilling. We're empty nesters, and I'm loving it. Our 3 sons are adults and have families and stuff. So other than that, my hobby is building things. I just got a circular saw. I'm getting ready to build some planters and some small little tables and things. So I'm trying to get my HGTV on and do some fall gardening. So I like to do a little Martha Stewart stuff.
Wow, you said a circular saw. That is really HGTV.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I just got my saw, so I'm happy.
So I know you sit at home and watch HGTV. Wow.
Like it's no tomorrow.
So what is one of the projects that you've already built?
Well, prior to me getting my circular saw, I built a chest, and it sits at the foot of our bed so I can store like my comforters and things in it. And I built several things, a footstool, built a table. I built quite a few things. And then I only had just a little small miter saw. But now that I got this circular saw, you can't tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing.
Ah, and that thing at the edge of the bed, because that's where I'm sitting right now on my chest at the edge of the bed. I'm ready to throw this
really?
Out the window. I'm ready to throw it out the window. Because it just
encourages oh, well, listen,
me to have more give me some stuff. Specs.
Listen, we'll figure out how to ship it to you. Give me some specs, and I can definitely, I mean, I built a covered one as well. So, yeah, give me some specs and what you want.
It just
I will hook you up.
It encourages you to have more stuff. Oh, my God.
It does.
I'm throwing stuff away every day. I'm like, good God, I don't want no more stuff. Take it, take it. I don't want it. I'm trying to be a minimalist.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to convert to that lifestyle, but I don't know what my problem is. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to low-key not be a hoarder because I like buying things. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Oh, I don't have a darn place to put it, but I like it. Like, ugh.
Yes.
So I'm trying to convert to the minimalist lifestyle.
And everybody knows that everywhere in my room, there's wine, Jesus, everywhere. I have no more room.
Listen,
no more room.
I love you, Kat. I love you. I just told another friend of mine about our excursion with you, Nikita, and I, and how much fun and how much I learned on that. That was like, oh my God, this is amazing. You are the pro.
I try. I just try to be the little black wine guy. And I was like, oh my God. And I was
listen, little black wine guy, nothing. The way they was calling your name and saying, come here, come.
Oh my God.
Walking to the basement and to the cellar and everything. I'm like, okay. Okay. Yes.
And that's one of those where I become humble and I'm grateful for the doors that God has opened for me in the wine industry. I am grateful for that. And I'm just like, well, God, if that's the next phase of life, then hey, let's go on 32 years of school busting. Let's do it. And so,
listen,
I just want to make sure that people get here, they come to the Bay Area, and they really get to see Napa. And not experience it from somebody who's doesn't have a clue. They're just taking you up there. They're going to stop here and you get no clue. They can't tell you anything about the wine. The wine industry is a billion-dollar industry that we sleep on.
Yes, it is.
And people like Charles Woodson, the football player, E-40, the rapper, Snoop Dogg, Lisa Ray, quite a few people, they are John Legend. They are making wine and making hundreds of millions of dollars that nobody know they're even making.
Wow, that's incredible.
Nobody even knows because they set up and learned about some wine. They went there one time and they got somebody to produce the wine for them. And now they put their face on it. And even Nicole Murphy has a wine line. And I'm like, well, let me take people up there so that I can learn. And one of my desires had been to do my own. And then I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to do it. And then I was like, oh my God, it's so expensive. God opened the door for somebody to say, hey, we'll do it at this cost for you. We'll break it down. I was like, okay,
wow.
There we go. So next year I will be working on getting my wine line out.
And we will support. No clue
what it's going to be called. Don't have a clue.
Listen, definitely going to support.
I'm just trying to follow into what everybody else is doing.
Absolutely.
And encourage somebody else along the way. And when we come out of when we come out of COVID, because I'm just believing God the next year we coming out of this. I'm believing God.
We're coming out of this. Yes, Lord, in Jesus' name. Wow.
Can't take no more. I'm believing that it is going to have a vaccine and people are going to understand. Some part of it too is this cleanliness, that is maybe people will just get a little bit more clean. Just a little bit.
Yeah. Your hands clean. Yeah.
It'll get a little bit more clean and we can start to do events. And I'm looking at other areas that are, because there's other places that are open already, just doing totally open. Whoa, no, not like that. I want to do smaller catered events, and we're under a tent somewhere, and everybody is spaced out.
Yes.
Not a circulation of air, and we're good.
Right, exactly.
We got to do something else when we come back out of this, because we got to. So, how has it been with, I mean, this is the best way to say it is, it went cold turkey for being on the road. It just completely shut down the road. And as an artist that is used to traveling, how does that, it's like you hit a wall. Bam.
Listen, it's a double whammy for me, because in December, I was having some issues with my vocal cords. So I went to my ENT and he told me I had laryngopharyngeal reflux, which is an extension of, I suffer really bad from acid reflux, and it's when the acid sits on your esophagus and it affects your vocal cords. So from December the 14th up until March, I was on vocal rest. I did one. Yes, I did one gig March the 8th, and the next week, at my church shut down on March 15th. They said, everybody come to church for prayer. We're going to anoint everybody. And my pastor was like, nah, we shutting the doors because something hit it. And sure enough, the next week, the whole state was shut down. So for me and a couple of my friends, we've been talking. The psychological response has been kind of overwhelming because it plays with your mind. Like, okay, God, what's about to happen? We don't know. You know, when you see your gigs are postponed indefinitely, that does something to your psyche.
Yes.
And not only that, but spiritually, when, you know, we've not had church, we've been doing church online. So when you miss the interaction and the fellowship of the saints, my mama used to say of the saints, of your brothers and sisters, you miss that fellowship. Albeit I will say that I like who I'm at sheltering at home in place with. Me and my husband get along. That's my buddy. We friends. So we've been in here laughing and cracking up and just, you know, we take long walks and, you know, so we're fine on that end. But the interaction of our peers and our close friends, because at one point we hadn't seen anybody. And so just psychologically and the spiritual, you know, it's just, I don't know. And, you know, we've been doing a lot of fasting. Our church just went on a fast. And I'm just seeking God, okay, God, help us balance this. Because I think at this point, it's like a balancing act. There are days that I wake up and I'm like, okay, what day is it?
Yes.
Is it Wednesday or is it Saturday?
Yes.
We start running together.
Yes.
Is it Monday or is it Thursday? So I'm like, okay, I have to look at my phone and okay, all right, today is Tuesday. Okay, this is what we're doing today. Okay, and I have to tell myself that and I have to make myself, okay. And then I prayed and said, God, what's my other options in life versus what I've fallen into that have become redundant?
Yes.
Now, I will say that's been a side for me. It's made me explore other things in life that had we not been quarantined or sheltering in place, I probably would have never paid attention to it. Again, the whole getting a circular saw and let me up my game with my building. And I really want to explore that. I've been sticking to my hands to build and design. Okay. Yeah. This has been a passion of mine for years. So, okay. I have the time to really do it now, but otherwise, you know, the gigging and it's been interesting and it's caused a lot of us to think outside of the box and to really tap into another level of creativity. So it's a double-edged sword, but this is where we are, so we got to figure it out.
Wow. And I agree, because them days do run together. They
listen.
I sleep in the daytime, and I'm up at nighttime now.
Really?
Thank God for Golden Girls. Thank God for Frasier. Because I'm laying up in my head in the middle of the night.
Listen, I feel you on that, too. I had to, like, try to make myself, okay, cut the TV off, stop, or, you know, do something else. I don't know. But, yeah, it's really interesting.
Like, I have no reason to get up. And for us, as being a school bus driver is just like that gig. We are done. They're not even talking about us. They already told us we wasn't even coming back till next year. So there is no job for me for the rest of the year. I'm like, okay.
Wow.
And we just don't know what it's going to look like even coming back for next year. So
yeah, same with us, like performance halls and things like that. Oh, it's done for, unless you're just doing virtual, like we just did the McDonald's thing and all of that. But still, you know, and then again, psychologically, you're so used to feeling the energy of an audience.
Yes,
you have to set your mind at a different angle to say, okay, I understand how to minister this way. But there's no energy to feed off. So, okay, God, it's got to come from a different place.
Got to come from a different place. And that is, so I've been noticing, and I don't know if it has hit North Carolina yet, but there are venues that are taking empty parking lots, and they're now becoming outdoor venues.
Oh, really?
And they're spacing them out. So I've seen a couple online, and I was like, okay, how are we going to do this? And then I said, oh, we can do this for the white party. We can be outside and space ourselves out like that. So went to the winery. I contacted the winery, went there, and there's plenty of room. They gave me the number of how many we could have. I called my caterer. I said, okay, here's our event for next year. We're ready. Boom, boom.
Wow.
I start selling tickets. We're going to do this. Everybody will be spaced out. We'll have a nice little DJ. There'll be plenty of food and there'll be plenty of wine. So maybe it'll hit there. Maybe it will hit.
Exactly. There. That's ingenuity, though. That's what I'm talking about.
Because you got to come
you think
up
from another space. Yeah.
And I learned how to, I'm almost perfected. I'm almost be able to say it. I'm at 75 to 80% sure. Just look, I've been teaching myself Photoshop.
Oh, wow.
Teaching myself how to do flyers. So I'm at the last phase of my flyer now. Now I'm just trying to put text on there and erase the stuff so it looks completely like it's just in there. So I'm at that point. And that has been a process.
That's good stuff.
Because
that's Greek to me. Yeah.
Oh, it was Greek to me too. But I mean, with having a podcast, with having the live show that I do with Deshaun, when you have an artist and like today, I was calling around. I said, I really need the flyer done. I need to have LeJune's face on the flyer. And first thing out their mouths, they're like $75 to $100. And I'm like, you understand podcasts don't make money like that. We're a growing thing. We're a work in progress.
Right.
We're not T.I.
Right.
We ain't got 2 million people that's just taking our podcast now and listening to it. And I'm like, here it is. We're doing this, but now everybody, Joy Reid. I'm like, why are y'all starting podcasts? This was our way to come up. And you're taking our spots now. So fortunately for me, because I have the two podcasts, I have the other podcast called The Fellow's Point of View. That podcast is in the top 100 podcasts of the world, and then we made it into the top 50. So we have arrived, but it still ain't where I want to be because you still got the Joe Buttons and the T.I.s and the Joy Reeds and whoever wakes up this day, the wind blows. Oh, I'm a celebrity. Let me just do a podcast.
Let me just do one. Right.
I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm getting on there to do, but I'm just going to get these 2 million, 3 million people to come on over and do that.
Oh, wow.
And so they still, and they take that, and I'm like, okay, thank you. But
Right.
It's you to continue to say, hey, and I went in. So now I picked up Rosetta Stone the other day, and I'm going to teach myself Spanish.
Come on.
Sitting in the house. I ain't going nowhere. So might as well do something.
Might as well.
Learn something. I got me the Rosetta Stone for $99, and it's got all the languages on there, and it's good for a year. So I get to play around with it for a year, and even if I only get the basics.
I know that's right. Listen, I ain't mad at you.
Bored. I'm telling you, just tired of being in the house doing the same thing.
Yeah. It's tedious. It is definitely tedious. Like, wow. And now it's about to get cold. So going outside, we outside a lot. Like, so now it's getting cool down here. I'm not about to go outside like this. So I got to figure something else out.
So now the other thing that I love the fact that 32 years of marriage.
Tell me how...
32 years, because you could be on a panel, y'all can be on a panel and tell people how to make 32 years, because some people barely make 2 years, and you stand 32.
Listen, my first rule of thumb we learned early on, keep folk out of your business.
Yes.
I repeat, keep folk out of your business. I don't care how mad you get at each other. Y'all can, whatever, cuss each other out, spit, drag, snatch, whatever. But keep folk out your business. And we learned early on, because I was the hot-headed one. And I'm a fighter, so I would be trying to, yo, what's up, Negro? Like, what? And again, we got married at 18, so we were still kids, but we learned to grow together. We learned how to fight properly. Because there's going to be disagreements.
Yes.
I don't want to be with anybody that's going to agree with me all the time. And that's how I choose my friends. Like, I would rather somebody, we have opposite views. And because my mama used to have a saying, don't help me go to hell. Meaning, don't be a yes person to me to the point that you cause me to fail or you cause me to die and go to hell. So I would rather have people around me say, sis, I love you, but nah, that ain't good. So we learned to disagree properly. And one thing we did really do was learn how to move at the beat of our own drum. Like, there's a reason why it's illegal to take another person's prescription, because you could die from it, right? Now, there are bits and pieces. Yeah, there's a lot of wisdom that has been imparted to us from older couples that mentored us, but trying to use that one set prescription for your marriage might kill you. So we learned to, you know, figure it out and, okay, no, this works for us, but this doesn't work for us, especially during the years when we were both traveling. Like, I remember Sid was gone for 6 months. And so I had to agree to say, okay, well, I'm going to put what I want to do on pause, because we both not going to be going with these kids.
Right.
And right. It important for us to have our kids see at least one of us at their events. They played sports and everything at school, and we both, if it wasn't the both of us, one of us was there, and vice versa. There was a span of time when I traveled with Bishop Jake, I was gone for 4 months. So we just agreed to work it that way, and you just got to figure out what works for your marriage, keeping folk out your business. And we make it a point to pray together. We try to pray together every day. And when we do those things, hey, we good. We good. And it takes work. It takes work. You got to put work in. Like, the moments that they get on your nerves, I know I get on his nerves, he get on my nerves. So when you know that, figure it out. Go shopping. Leave the house. Go somewhere. Get missing. All right. I'll be back after a while. I'm going to Greensboro a day or two. I'll see you in 2 days. Yeah, because it happens. These are honest things that people know. What I can't stand when Christian marriages and people that are on these Christian panels with these marriages, oh, it's just, no, you lying. And especially when you work together, we work together too. And that's a whole nother conversation. So
yes,
I'm about to share. So Cedric was the minister of music at every church I've served at. He's been the minister of music. So when we first got married, he was the minister of music, and our bishop, he didn't micromanage. So however Cedric wanted to run that music department is how he ran it. And he is very strict. He had rules in place. If you broke the rules, 3 infractions, you got sat down.
Ooh, wow.
So me with my tongue behind, I didn't want to be up there, so I broke every rule I could. And I got sat down. I got sat down by my husband.
Wow.
I repeat, I sat down by my husband. Not once, not twice, but many times. Okay. And here's the other rule. You still had to come to rehearsal. You still had to dress out. So whatever uniform the choir was wearing, I had to wear. And I sat on the front row, and everybody knew that I was sat down. It got to the point that my bishop had to ask him permission. Please, can she lead a song? We're going such and such, and I want to put all my best leaders up. He said no.
Oh,
But I'm going to tell you what it taught me. It taught me some discipline. It taught me a whole lot of discipline, and it taught me respect for the boundaries of business and being able to separate us being married, and this is ministry or business. When we're doing studio work, he said, no, we're not married when we're working. I'm not getting ready to, I'm not getting ready to give you no breaks or nothing. I expect you to do the same work as everybody else. And I'm glad that he set those standards for me, because now it taught me to be extremely disciplined, and the level of respect took it to another level. So even with that, for couples that are married and they work together, that's a double whammy.
Ooh, it's a double whammy.
So those boundaries have to be respected. Yeah, that's a double whammy. Double whammy.
Wow. That's a whole nother. And see, that's like that. I'm telling you, that's why y'all could be on some serious panels. Look, let me impart something in y'all. Y'all could start a private Zoom, and have couples pay. Y'all could do relationship counseling over Zoom right now, and lock the room, and charge the people to come on in, because 32 years.
Yeah, 32. Now, God is good.
Look, that's how long I've been driving the school bus, and I know the wisdom that I have. Half these people that come up now, they'll never know half of what I've known about driving the school bus.
See, listen.
Nowhere near.
There's something you can't learn in a book. You have to be hands-on. You have to have that experience, because there are some variables that the book hasn't considered.
Mm-mm. Because the book can't tell you everything. Wow.
Book can't tell you everything. Mm-mm. Sure
we
can't.
Work together. I hate you right now, but I still got to go home and get into bed with you, and I still got to wake up and see your face, and I'm still mad about what happened the other day.
That part, and that is very real, because there have been plenty of times where he has made me so angry. I was about to say something else, Lord, forgive me. Made me so angry in the studio, and then when the session is over, come on, babe, let's go get something to eat. I slammed the door and walk out. I don't want to eat with you. I'm still mad. Not tonight.
I am still mad. And go be mad about it for a minute. Just say, I'm not over
for
this.
A minute. Exactly.
Not this.
Exactly.
Evening. And then got to get up and go back to the studio with you again. So I got to pull it together again. Mentally.
So I got to pull it together again. That part.
That's
yeah, awesome. Marriage is it's definitely work. It's definitely a lot of work. And what's unfortunate is a lot of couples, like younger couples that we try to sort of mentor, they don't want to put the work in. It's so easy now to, oh, no, it's all right. I get somebody else. We can divorce. Yeah, forget about this. Yeah, you take this kid and I take this one. And I'm like, how y'all just dissolve a whole family like that? Like, really? No. The children can't be the collateral.
It's usually over something silly.
Something stupid.
I'm like, really? That's what's gonna make you start all over again and go after somebody else? Oh, he didn't put the top back on the toothpaste, and I'm tired of it. It just keeps happening over and over.
What in the world? Where does this come from? What is this casual behavior that you can so casually dissolve your family and your marriage and just over something dumb? What is that?
And no. I think part of that comes from the fact that we see so many pastors do it. So yeah. If a pastor can do it, I can do it. Pastor's all right with it. I can do it.
Pretty much, I can. Yeah, leadership is doing it, so why can't I?
If the top is doing it, and my pastor did it, he went and got another wife, so it God blessed him, you know? God blessed him, so I'm going to be all right.
Woo. Lord help us. This is the climate we're in. You're right.
And we even see it on national TV, because we looking at it right now with Bishop Jamal Bryant and his ex-wife, and it's playing out on a reality show.
All on a show. Wow. Wow.
The kids on there saying, don't get back with daddy. Her father on there saying, don't get back with Jamal. And I'm like, really? I said, whoa.
Is this happening? Right.
I didn't even know it was going to. Somebody said, you don't watch Housewives of Potomac? I said, no, not my thing. And so they said, you have to watch it. So, and I said, well, I went and looked at a clip online, and I was like, this is really happening on reality TV with a leading minister.
About it. I was like, what in the world is going on here?
I said, this is why the church gets the flack that it gets. Because it's the drama. The church is not supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be
not
a
at
whole
all.
Different way. And then how can you lead me when your stuff is playing out on national TV? I can't get
that part.
I can't get that. Wow. I got enough issues. I can take my own self to hell. I don't need you to take me there. Trust me. I can take myself there. I have mastered how to get myself there. So I don't need you to take me.
Mm-mm. Listen, not one ounce of them, not one inch of the way. No, don't need.
Ain't no how.
Listen. Mm-mm. Wow.
Not having it.
That's good.
I'm the king of single. I'm going to be single till God come back to this earth. I can teach singleism 101. I don't want no kids. I got it. My nieces and nephews love them to death. Drop them back off at home. God bless you. God keep you. Mm-mm. I'm going to teach this thing, how to be single and saved and holy. Yes, I got it. Stay by yourself.
What I know
you that. Close your door, turn the TV on, read a book, grab a glass of wine, and you will be all right. I promise you, you will.
I promise you, you will.
You will be all right. I'm like, oh. And so it's just, it's amazing that for 32 years and that you guys are still friends, you hang out, and you have them days as couples. But I tell people, it's don't put God first in that, then it's never going to work. And, oh, we got married, and what they said, the vow said, God this, God that, I obey this. And then as soon as you left there, you took God out. You didn't put everybody else in.
Yeah.
So it goes back to where you say, keep everybody out of your business, because you done told Becky, you done told Deborah, and then Deborah over here looking at your husband sideways and
Deborah telling you to do what exactly, because Deborah trying to make her move
and then Becky over here still mad you done made up, but Becky's still mad because she's still holding on to something that you done let go of.
Exactly.
Keep them out. I wholeheartedly agree. Keep them out. Oh,
keep them out.
It's just amazing. So, what do you say to up and coming artists? What do you tell them that they should say? This is how I want to get into the industry. I want to sing. I want to be a singer. I want to do this. I want to do what you do. I want to be you. I want to be you. That's what I want to be. So what do you tell them when they say that to you?
Well, my first bit of advice is make your calling and election sure. Make sure this is what God has called you to do, because there's a difference in being, and I just had this discussion, there's a difference in being an artist and being a singer, yes, and being someone that can lead at church or can lead with the choir. Those are three separate things. Being an artist, it's a totally different type of skin you have to have. There are a few things that Donald Lawrence, who was my mentor, has drilled. To this day, he still drills this into us. You cannot let the tone or the climate of the industry dictate who you are. You have to be authentic, who you are. You have to remain authentic to who you are. You have to remain authentic to yourself. You have to remain authentic to who you are creatively. And so if you are one that can be easily persuaded and cared about with every wind and doctrine of the industry, it might not be for you. And only because when things don't look like they're moving or things aren't like moving in your favor, like you're not on a chart or you're not playing on mainstream or any of that, then, you know, it does something to you mentally. But if you're able to just say, you know what, I'm just going to be true to the art form, true to the ministry. And if it hits 1 million people, so be it. If it blesses 10 people, then I'm happy. Because one soul for me is an accomplishment. Touching one life is an accomplishment. Some people are driven by numbers. And now, especially, we're driven by followers. We're driven by likes. And all of that, if that's what your artistry off of, then God bless you. But if you're really trying to be an artist slash minstrel slash be effective, then you have to develop a different skin. So that's my first bit of advice. Make the call and election sure, and be able to define what it is you really want to do. There are some people that I know in my circle, they just do background. And they are very accomplished and highly sought after. There are some artists that come through here, they request certain singers because they know that the singer is going to come, one, professional. They're going to be on time, they're going to be on point, and they're going to know their stuff. They're going to know the material, and we're going to get the job done. Yeah. Or, you know, I need somebody to fill in. There's just so many different angles and so many different variables with this music industry. So you got to be able to define what it is you really want to do. Okay, I want to be a lead singer. Then that's a whole nother can of worms. But to be an artist, another type of skin. And then right now, it's for me, it's getting sketchy because I've had a lot of time to look at a few like videos and stuff and to see how do we separate artists from worship leader, which I'm one of the worship leaders at my church. And so we've had this discussion. I had a discussion with one of my pastor friends, Dr. Tracy Troy, the other week. And I could use one example that taught me a very, 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 a very sobering lesson. I'll never forget when I was on EMI, we were doing the Christian Booksellers Association's conference. It was at New Birth in Atlanta. And Pastor C.C. Winans, it was myself, Pastor C.C. Winans, Beverly Crawford, Darwin Hobbs, all of us was on that EMI, that label entity. And the power of God started moving, and Pastor Cece was talking, and she said, I know I'm supposed to, because we all were promoting new music. She said, I know I'm supposed to promote the new song, but the Holy Spirit is leading me in another way.
Yes.
And she went another way, and the altar call was bananas. So many people were down at their altar to be saved, that it was life-changing for me to see her be that secure in who God was in her, mm-hmm, that secure in her ministry, that, okay, I know we're supposed to be doing these singles, but the Holy Spirit just changed the whole dynamic of the service. Wow. And that let me know that there has to be a time when we can be sensitive to the Spirit enough to know when we shift. When the Spirit is shifting, okay, all of that, I know that's the goal. The goal is to do the single, but the assignment is sold. So being able to shift between that, that taught me such a valuable lesson, and that's one I live by to this day. So again, when someone says, I want to sing, I want to do that, so what is it that you really want to do? What's the goal and what's the assignment? Being able to decipher between the two. And what I'm noticing now, and this is just me, in my opinion, we have to be able to separate the two, because there's a difference in being an artist and being a worship leader. Yes. And I see people who can successfully merge the two, but when it's time to minister, and the Holy Ghost shifts or the Holy Spirit shifts the whole platform, then I just feel like we need to be that sensitive and discern when the shift is coming.
Yes.
You know, that's just my two cents.
You guys have gotten some nuggets. I'm telling y'all might have to listen to this two or three times. Y'all might have to listen two or three times, because it's some stuff in here. So I got one good last question for you. Who would you like to work with, besides Kirk Carr, that you haven't worked with? Is there anybody else out there that you would like to work with that you haven't worked with?
Oh my God, there's quite a few. Pastor Donnie McClurkin is at the top of my list. We actually were supposed to do a song together, but the labels couldn't come together and it just got all sketchy. Pastor Donnie, wow. I love PJ Morton. There's so many. Well, and this might seem strange, but I would love to do something with Elton John. I just love Elton John.
Elton John?
Those are my top three. Yes, wow. Elton John.
Elton John. Okay. Now that was really out there. Y'all wasn't expecting that at home. Y'all would. Elton John. Very talented. Yes, he comes out of left field with some amazing music. Yes, he does.
He does. I respect the art. I respect his art. You know, I respect the fact that, you know, he thinks from a different place. And, you know, I'm a huge fan. I love him.
Wow. I like that concept there. So you guys at home there, I'm going to put some clips up. Because I don't know too many people. You can't be in this world and not know who LaJune Thompson is. You just can't. I remember on Deshaun's birthday celebration, that was last year. I think that's when the year you came. My cousin came and
I remember.
Not in the church, and she got to hear you for the first time, and she said, I just have chills and goosebumps. She was just she just walked up there and just killed the building. I said, so if you don't know, I don't know what to tell you. Pick up her projects, get out there and get her projects. Purchase her music, support this amazing butterfly of an artist who is just soaring to so many heights. And God's not through. There's so much more for her. There's so much more for
thank
her.
Thank you. I receive that.
Anybody that can stand there and allow God to use them effortlessly is what happens when she takes the mic. It's just effortlessly. She just sings effortlessly. The rest of us, we struggle and trying to find a note, and she just hits them, slides right on it. Right there.
Wow. But
when you have mentorship of John B. Key, of Donald Lawrence, and now I got to go do some research on Isaac Carey's mother. Interesting.
Oh, she's quite amazing. Listen, she's quite amazing. Yes.
Because I learned I learned something new. So, I thank you. I really thank you for agreeing to come on the show. I just think you're amazing.
Thank you again. Thank you for being my brother and for just, again, whenever we come out there, y'all just take such good care of us. And for even thinking of me, I was like, oh, thank you. I really appreciate the love, like for real.
But that's one of the things that being a pastor's kid, being in Love Center, being a part of my church before I went to Love Center, just you're taught to care for the people who God sends to you in your area. Take care of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's not about you. Yeah. You're there to make sure that their experience while they're here on the road, because God is taking them on the road. So you need to make it the best possible. You don't want them to leave with a bad taste in their mouth, because when they go back, they're like, oh, I don't want to go back there again. That wasn't a good experience. No.
Mm-mm. Listen, I love coming to the Bay Area. When I tell you I love it, I have such an amazing time. Every time. I'm like, oh, yes. I'd be loving when Deshaun become like, can you? I'm like, yes, we'll be there.
And we've had a bad rep, because we had a lot of wannabe promoters come through here. They didn't want to pay the people. Oh, my God. We've had a bad rep.
Wow.
And
wow.
Then they on the other side of the world. Who going to California? They so far from everybody else. Ain't nobody going there.
Listen, I love it. We're gonna fall off
in the ocean.
Exactly.
We are gonna fall off in the ocean. And I wanna say Juanita Bynum said that, but I can't be regret, but I wanna say she was here and said we was gonna fall off in the ocean. Oh Jesus, help me.
I'm getting off the phone.
Yes, I'm done. Thank you so much. You guys share this podcast, and I promise you, go pick up anything that has LaJune Thompson's name on it. I mean, you come back when y'all know, we all know when Sunday comes, there are so many days. A brighter day is coming, sunny day. Just go pick it up, anything, and I promise you it will minister to you while you are stuck in the house. If you're having any depressions with issues there's a song there that will lift your spirit and pull you out and place you into a better place. Trust God, believe God, all of that. Share the podcast. Don't keep it to yourself. And I'll see you again on whatever day we come back, because y'all know I was missing in action. But hey, it's all good. Woo.